This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You know, I really get emotional when I endeavor, and I cautiously use the word endeavor, to present a synopsis of any portion of the Quran, simply because the Quran is wara'ul wara. What is wara'ul wara? It is beyond our scope of comprehension. The Quran is beyond our scope of comprehension. Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah used to say, "Inna man kana qablakum ra'aw al-Quran ar-rasa'ila min rabbihim, fakanu yatadabbarunaha bil-layl wa yunfidhunaha bin-nahar." That the pious predecessors, they considered the Quran to be a letter from Allah, a message from Allah. Fakanu yatadabbarunaha. They would reflect, they would introspect. Allah has not only impressed upon us to read the Quran, but Allah has impressed upon us to reflect over the Quran. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Will they not reflect over the Quran? Will they not introspect? Or is it that they are reflecting, but their hearts have been sealed? In the terminology of mantiq, they refer to this as man'ul khulu. Man'ul khulu basically means that it cannot be free of either of the situations. So it's possible that both merge. That means they don't reflect on the Quran and their hearts are sealed. But it cannot be that both do not take place. This is what we call man'ul khulu. Dono se khali hona man'a hai. And that's what Hakim al-Ummah makes mention in Bayanul Quran. And really speaking, that is the sad reality, is that we don't make an effort to ponder and reflect over the Quran. So with the hope and with the desire that inshallah we're going to present to our listeners a synopsis of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has discussed in the juz which we heard today, probably over the airwaves or in Salatul Taraweeh, in the nocturnal prayer, those returning from the masjid, etc. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And of course this is going to be very brief, because where can you cannot even cover one page adequately in an hour, leave alone an entire juz of the Quran. Now we know Surah Fatiha is not the first chapter that is to be revealed. Surah Iqra and the first five verses was the first form of revelation, although Surah Fatiha was the first complete chapter to be revealed, and Surah An-Nasr being the last complete chapter to be revealed, and وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ being the final verse to be revealed. Surah Fatiha in many ways an opening chapter of the Quran, a matan, and the remaining part of the Quran expounds and elaborates on the theme that has been captured in this chapter of the Quran. La salata illa bi fatihati al-kitab. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam has told us there is no salah without the recitation of Surah Fatiha. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen is an introduction to Allah and is a praises of Allah. So Allah is introducing himself. Now this is the general notion in the Quran. Suratun anzalnaha wa faradnaha. This is a chapter we have revealed. Tanzilun min Allahil Azizil Hakim. This is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, linguistically, if we analyze tanzil and inzal, inzal means at one time, while tanzil means gradually. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. So inzal took place where the entire Quran was revealed to, from the lower mahfuz to the first sky, and from there onwards, tanzeelun min ar-Rahmanir Rahim, a gradual revelation. So Allah introduces himself by saying, Rabbil Alameen, the Lord of all the worlds. Now we know there's the Lord of there's the worlds of the humankind, the jinn kind, those that are into zoology and study animals, you'll be baffled, you'll be amazed, your mind will not able to comprehend how nature operates in its greatest and best form when you analyze and you explore the wildlife, those into marine world and study the fish and the oceans. I was in Barbados just about a month ago, and one of the highlights of going there is a trip in the submarine. So anybody who goes there, that's a typical thing. They would take you to a cave and they'll take you in the submarine. Again, it just gives you the real feeling. Going to a zoo and going to the wildlife, seeing the animals caged and seeing the animals in the open is a different feeling. Going to an aquarium and going in the ocean with the submarine deep down and seeing the marine world, رب العالمين ومن الشياطين من يغوصون له ويعملون عملا دون ذلك. Amongst the jinnat are those who dive into the oceans and they respond, they take out pearls and rubies and the rest of it for Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. وكنا لهم حافظين, and it is us that keep them under control and keep them in discipline. So Allah is the Lord of all the worlds. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the most kind, the most merciful. Linguistically, the scholars expound and explore the difference between Rahman and Rahim. But suffice to say that when Allah commences His blessed, sacred, glorious book, He commences with the introduction of those attributes which highlight His mercy and His kindness. نَبِّئْ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. So the rhythm of the Quran is paradise and hell, noble and evil. فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. نعم الثواب وحسنت مرتفقا بئس الشراب وساءت مرتفقا. That's the rhythm of the Quran. لم بئس المولى ولا بئس العشير. نعم المولى ونعم النصير. That Allah is the best of guardians. Paradise is the best of places. Hell is the most wicked of places. There is a group in paradise, there's a group in hell. So Allah, whenever He speaks about His attributes, by and large in the Quran, Allah commences with His benevolence, His kindness, His clemency, His grace. نبي, inform, عبادي, my servants, أني أنا الغفور الرحيم. I am the one who perpetually forgives. Once when I was doing tafsir in America, there was a scholar visiting there and he showed me something, or he alerted me to something, and that's the beauty of the Quran. You keep on exploring. The other day somebody posted something on one of the ulama groups and it really was something that resonated with me and it really got me thinking. So Allah uses the word thaqil in the Quran twice. So thaqil, loosely translated as colossal, as mammoth, as heavy. So Allah says that that they forget the day behind them, which is yawman thaqila. Yawman thaqila. That is a great day, a heavy day. فَإِذَا نُقِرَ فِي النَّاقُورِ, when the trumpet will be blown, فَذَلِكَ يَوْمَ إِذِي يَوْمٌ عَسِيرٌ. That's a difficult day. عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ غَيْرُ يَسِيرٌ. It's not an easy day. It's not a simple day. Right? The light will emerge. وَجِئَ بِالنَّبِيِّينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ. The prophets will be brought. And وَجِئَ بِالنَّبِيِّينَ, and the witnesses will be brought. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ صَفًّا صَفًّا, and the angels will stand in their rows. So Allah says that these people forsake and they forget the day which is يوم الثقيل, this heavy day, this real day. Sometimes Allah refers to it as tomorrow. Allah says سَيَعْلَمُونَ غَدًا مَنِ الْكَذَّابُ الْأَشِرُ. Tomorrow you'll know who's the real liar. You say, hey, you know what, prepare for tomorrow. Well, there's a real tomorrow that Allah reminds us of. And in some verses of the Quran, Allah brings Qiyamah so close that Allah refers to it as today. فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. Today the believers will be laughing. Sometimes Allah refers to it as tomorrow, sometimes Allah refers to it as today. So Allah uses the word ثقيل referring to Qiyamah. And in another place Allah says إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. And we know after the first five verses of Iqra were revealed, then there was fatrat. There was a gap. And after that, the completion of the surah and the next chapter to be revealed was Surah Muddathir. So after Iqra, the next chapter is Muddathir. That is why in some tafsirs you will find the first revelation was Muddathir, which means post the interval. So Allah says, and this is what the scholars say, that إِذَا أَرَدْتَ النَّجَاةَ مِنَ الْيَوْمِ الثَّقِيلِ فَتَمَسَّكْ بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّقِيلِ. إِذَا أَرَدْتَ النَّجَاةَ مِنَ الْيَوْمِ الثَّقِيلِ فَتَمَسَّكْ بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّقِيلِ. That if you want salvation from that challenging day, that complex day, that difficult day, then hold on to the revelation which is thaqil. And again, my brothers, my sisters, the listeners out there, if we reflect over the verses of the Quran, when Allah impresses upon us to hold on to the Quran, Allah uses expressions of firmness, of strength, of might. Ya Yahya, خذ الكتاب بقوة. Oh Yahya, grip the book with firmness. Allah told Sayyidina Musa, فخذها بقوة. Hold on to the book with firmness. إن الذين يمسكون بالكتاب. Those who grip onto the kitab with firmness. فاستمسك بالذي أوحي إليك. So if you see the common thread between all these words, hold on to it with firmness. The Messenger ﷺ said, عضوا عليها بالنواجذ. all this. So just holding the Quran is not adequate. When I'm not saying literally, I'm saying figuratively. That means we need to do it. Sometimes we're doing it. Are you taking your medication? Yeah, I'm taking it, but not religiously. I'm not taking it diligently. I'm not taking it promptly. Are we holding on to the Quran? Yes, but is there istimsak? Is there fastamsik? Are we hold on to it firmly? And I often quote these words of Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani, and he's mentioned it in the third juz of Surah Tafsir Uthmani. He says, Allah ki rassi choot sakti hai, toot nahi sakti. You can lose grip of the rope of Allah, but the rope of Allah can never break. And in the narration of Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wa hablullahi al-mateen. So, you know, this is Quran. You just get into it and it just takes you away and carries you away. So Allah, whenever He speaks of His attributes, Nabbi, tell my servants, Ibadi, my servants, my servants. Again, this is a passionate expression. When Allah speaks of His beloved servants, Allah says, Ibadi, my servants. قُلْ لِعِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ. Tell my servants. And when Allah speaks of His disobedient servants, linguistically, those that are into Arabic grammar can appreciate it. Allah says, بَعَثْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ عِبَادًا لَنَا. Allah didn't say عِبَادَنَا. Ya Allah is referencing His disobedient servants. When Allah speaks of His own servants, His beloved servants, His obedient servants, ibadi, my servants, the nisbat, the idafat to Allah. When Allah speaks of His disobedient servants, ibadan lana. This is highlighted in Ma'riful Quran. So Allah says, Nabbi, tell my servants, anni anal ghafoorur rahim, I am the most kind. Then Allah reminds us, wa anna adhabi huwa al-adhabul alim. And surely my torment is very severe. Again in the 13 juz, in Surah Al-Ra'd, وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَذُو مَغْفِرَةٍ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَىٰ ظُلْمِهِمْ. And verily your Lord is one who forgives despite their wrong and their oppression. وَلَوْ يُؤَخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا لَعَجَّلَ لَهُمُ الْعَذَابِ وَلَوْ يُؤَخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا مَا تَرَكَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّةِ. If I were to hasten in punishing man proportionate to his wrong, there wouldn't be a creature on earth. There wouldn't be a creature on earth. Right? And in the narration of Abu Dawud, if Allah was to punish every servant, عَذَّبَهُمْ وَهُوَ غَيْرُ ظَالِمٌ, that would be absolute justice and fairness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever Allah speaks about His attributes, Allah speaks about His mercy, His kindness first. Allah is speaking about the fast of Ramadan. And Allah says, you got to complete it. And in that, Allah interjects and says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةِ وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ. Allah intends goodness for you. Allah intends ease for you. Allah intends ease for you. When Allah says, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Just to get the difference of expression. وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ, when your Lord announced, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ, if you will be grateful, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. We don't want to go into too much detail. If you are grateful, and again, you know, the best form of tafsir is tafsirul Qur'an bil Qur'an, where you unpack the ambiguity of one verse through the clarity of another verse, which Allah expounds and explains in another verse of the Quran. So what is shukr? Again, we learn from the Quran in Surah Saba, in the 22nd juz, Allah says, اِعْمَلُوا آلَ دَاوُودَ شُكْرًا. The ulama say, Allah didn't tell the family of Dawood, ushkuruni. Allah said, اِعْمَلُوا, practice gratitude. Deliver gratitude, exhibit gratitude, walk it, deliver it. You know, one is to just verbally express it. It's part of it. It's part of it. I often say to students, straightening your teacher's shoes is part of khidmah. It's not the highlight of khidmah. It's not the ultimate. If you consider elementary to be graduation, then that's there's no two opinions on the foolish nature of such a person. So verbally being grateful to Allah is surely one way. But what did Allah say to Sayyidina Dawood? اِعْمَلُوا آلَ دَاوُود. And we need to ask ourselves, and in Tanbihul Ghafilin, Faqih Abul Layth Samarqandi has mentioned that the minimum gratitude is that the organs Allah has given us, we don't abuse the organs of Allah in Allah's disobedience. So anyway, Allah says, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ, if you're grateful. How must we be grateful? We must use every bounty in the manner and in the place and the position in which Allah wants us to use it, and use it in that correct way. Recently, I was in Mombasa, and then we went further down into some of the rural areas, and then we got back to Mombasa and we were catching a flight to Nairobi. And often travel keeps on teaching me these type of lessons. And so when we got to the airport in Mombasa, it was early morning, and then we had an internal hop. And so I told the brothers in the group, let's just have some breakfast on the run at the airport. So we got there, unfortunately, due to the alcoholic beverages, etc., which are the challenges a Muslim traveler has to contend with. You become uneasy to really buy anything other than that which is sealed and closed, and you wouldn't want anything because of fear of cross-contamination. So it was just a dry breakfast, nothing more than probably hot water and dipping your own tea bag, and that was about it. And I just sat down, not disillusioned or disheartened, but you anticipate in a good breakfast and it's dry, so you feel a bit uneasy. And lo and behold, as I just turned my gaze, I seen a strange form of abnormality in a human which I never seen before. Is this particular sister, and may Allah grant her ease and afiyah, and may Allah grant every person, that her foot was to the rear of her body. So she would be walking forward, but her toes would be pointed behind her. And obviously this just jolted me, and it just gave me a wake-up call to say that, you know, I say this often, that everyday life exposes us to people who have more than us and less than us. The choice is ours where we fix our gaze. The choice is ours. So when you come at a pelican crossing, or at a traffic light, or at a robot, as we would call it, there might be a person on the right with a car that is much more exclusive than you, and there might be a person or a woman on that side trying to cross over with a toddler, or probably the child on her back. The choice is yours. Either you turn to the right and your gaze is riveted and you're mesmerized and you envy, or you look there, reflect, and you be grateful. But the rhythm of life is, the pattern of life is, they will, every single day you'll be exposed to both sides. The choice is yours. Now, we haven't even moved from Surah Fatiha. Anyway, Allah says Maliki Yawmiddin. The scholars tell us Malik. Allah didn't say Qadi Yawmiddin. Allah didn't say he's the judge, although he's the judge, but he's the owner. So a judge in a jury, in a court, he definitely passes his verdict and pronounces his ruling, but he's not above the law. He's not above the legislation. He's also governed by a clause. He's also governed by a document. He's also, he's not above that legislation. Allah is wara'ul wara. Allah is, there's no law that governs Allah. Allah is not bound to any system. So Allah can pardon someone who doesn't deserve pardon. Allah, and we ask Allah to pardon us. We ask Allah to pardon us. Allah is not answerable. وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. Allah doesn't fear the outcome. If a king or a ruler or a monarch or a democratic republic or whatever it is, he wants to pass, it's got to go through the cabinet, the senate, and then it plays out, and then you got to see the feedback and the response, and the journalists and international media responding. Allah says, I can do what I want. وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. I don't fear how people interpret what I do. وَاللَّهُ يَحْكُمْ لَا مُعَقِّبَ لِحُكْمِي. And I decide, and nobody overrides my authority. So many times a person passes a decree, and then the senior comes in, and he says, what's this? He says, no. Just cancel this and tell them I said no, and it's done. And tell him I said, and it's done. And so you executed your muscle till your limit, and that was your cutoff point. But Allah is above that. وَاللَّهُ يَحْكُمْ. And Allah decrees, لَا مُعَقِّبَ لِحُكْمِي. There's nobody that can override it. لَا يُسْأَلُ عَمَّا يَفْعَلُ وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. And this ayah just gives off the absolute magnanimity of Allah. لا يسأل عما يفعل. He will never be challenged or questioned or interrogated regarding what he does. وهم يسألون. And everybody else will be asked regarding everything. وإن كان مثقال حبة من خردل. And if it is equivalent to a mustard seed, أتينا بها, will produce it. يا بني, oh my son, إنها أي الخصلة سيء. جلالين says, if you commit a sin, الخصلة فتكون في صخرة. Let it be in the mountains. Office samawat. You think there's no network there. You think there's no reception there. You think there's no cameras there. Office samawat, or in the skies, right? You're flying and you're airborne and you're right there cruising at 40,000 feet and you think, okay, well, now what's it? Do as I please. فَتَكُنْ فِي صَخْرَ أَوْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهِ. Allah will produce it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ بِإِسْتِخْرَاجِهَا خَبِيرٌ بِمَكَانِهَا. Allah is a way of where it happens. So Allah is Malik. Allah is Malik. Allah is the owner. He's not answerable. He can do as he pleases, when he pleases. Anyway, I don't want to go into more detail on Surah Fatiha because we're not going to move here. Alif Lam Mim. So just a little basic introduction for those probably who have never heard this here. We refer to this as Huruf and Muqatta'at. They are selected chapters of the Quran that commence with this here. The Mufassireen, by and large, will give you the meaning of Allahu A'lamu bi Muradihi. The meaning of this is known to Allah Himself. People then ask the question, if the meaning of these verses were not revealed, what's the wisdom of its revelation? So we have, In a broad brush, we have the muhkamat in the Quran, and they are the basis of the Quran. Those are the clear verses. The translation is understood, the meaning is understood. هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. Allah has revealed the verses, they are clear. هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ, they are the mother of the book, they are the foundation of the book, they are the foundation of the Quran. وَأُخَرُ, and other verses, مُتَشَابِهَات, they are vague, they are ambiguous. Now amongst the mutashabihat, there are those verses that are mutashabih fil fil ma'na wa fil mafhum. The translation is also unknown to us, and the meaning is also unknown. When you don't know the translation, how would you know the commentary of it? And then there are those verses, the translation is known, but the meaning is unknown. Yadullahi fawqa aydihim. The hand of Allah is above them. So Allah has told us, laysa kamithlihi shay. There is absolutely nothing like Allah. Lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. There is no equal to Allah. There is no rival to Allah. And even in laysa kamithlihi, academically, in the Hasha of Jalalain, it is mentioned, the kaf is za'id. The kaf is zaid. I don't want to go into too much linguistics here because if it's going to get too complicated and intricate, but the ulama can understand it. It's laysa kamithlihi. The kaf is zaid in terms of nahwa and grammar. So nothing is like Allah, right? وَلَهُ يَدَانِ كَمَا يَقُولُ إِلَهُنَا وَيَمِينُهُ جَلَّتْ عَنِ الْأَيْمَانِ كِلْتَا يَدَيْ رَبِّي يَمِينٌ وَصْفُهَا فَهُمَا عَلَى الْخَلْقِ مُنْفِقَتَانِ. So we say Yadullah, the hand of Allah, we can translate it. But what is meant by the hand of Allah? That is only known to Him. That is only known to Him. Some of the scholars say it means the help of Allah, the aid of Allah, etc., etc. So muqatta'at, these are words of the Quran. The meaning is known to Allah, but it's not free from benefit. We read it, we'll get reward. And one of the many wisdoms the scholars say that in the revelation of this is that the Arabs during the reign and the period of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were at the pinnacle of poetry and their excellence, and they had their skill in adab of Arabic, right? And there's so many poetry examples that one can cite to substantiate how profound they were in the Arabic, and it's irrefutable. But it all falls pale in front of the balaghat of the Quran. So here there was Ibn al-Muqaffa, if I recall correctly. He picks up his pen and bada'a yu'aridhu al-Quran. He starts challenging the Quran. وَسَمِعَ صَبِيًّا يَقْرَى. And he's listening to a child reading. وَقِيلَ يَا أَرُضُ بِلَعِي مَا أَكِي وَيَا سَمَاءُ أَقْلِعِي وَغِيضَ الْمَاءُ وَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ وَاسْتَوَتْ عَلَى الْجُودِيِّ وَقِيلَ بُعْدًا لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ فَكَسَّرَ الْأَقْلَامَ وَمَزَّقَ الصُّحُفِ. So just to put this into context again, he's trying to challenge the Quran, and while he picks up his pen and he wants to challenge and prove, na'udhu billah, prove a blemish in the Quran, but there is no blemish, it's blemishless, it's flawless, it's the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he overhears a child reading, and the eloquence and the fasahat and the balagha that has been captured in this ayah is just beyond words. وَلَمَّا سَكَتَ عَمْ مُوسَى الْغَضَبُ. The ulama say the balagha in this ayah is just beyond description. Pages have been written. وَقِيلَ. So this is the scenario regarding the incident of Nuh alayhi salam. And here again I read something so profound. So Nuh alayhi salatu was salam, the floods are coming. He warns his son. His son doesn't heed the warning. So the son tells the father, Sa'awi ila jabalin ya'asimuni min al-ma. Dad, I'll take shelter on the zenith of the mountain and it will rescue me. So the ulama are saying, Hada aqlun. Hada aqlun. This is logic. This is logic. So what did he say? I'll take shelter on the zenith of the mountain. The father said, La asima al-yawma min amri Allahi illa man rahim. There's none to rescue you today from the torment of Allah but the one whom Allah has mercy on. Hada wahyun. This is revelation. Wahala baynahuma al-mawju fakana min al-mughraqeen. And then comes the wave and separates father from son, and the son drowns. Hadhihi natijatun. This is the consequences. فَمَنْ قَدَّمَ عَقْلَهُ عَلَى الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ غَرَقْ. The one who challenges Quran and Sunnah through his logic, he will drown. فِي بُحُورِ الْأَهْوَاءِ وَالْبِدَعِ. In the oceans of deviation and in the oceans of innovation. May Allah protect us. So Allah, after the floods had come down, وَقِيلَ, and it was said, يَا أَرْضُ, O land. Now in Arabic, it's used as مُؤَنَّثِ سِمَاعِ. Right? مُؤَنَّثِ سِمَاعِ is something that doesn't have a distinct feminine trait, but it's referred to as feminine. In English, we refer to a car. There's nothing feminine about it, but she goes like a dream. She gives me a good drive. She runs well, right? These are just terms and expressions that you use in particular languages. So the land is referred to, ard in Arabic is referred to as mu'annath. وَقِيلَ, and it was said, يَا أَرْضُ بِلَعِي مَاءَكْ. O earth, drink up your water. وَيَا سَمَاءُ أَقْلِعِي. And O skies, settle, subside. وَغِيظَ الْمَاءُ وَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ. And the water dried up, and the matter was decreed. وَاسْتَوَتْ عَلَى الْجُودِيِّ. And the ark halted on Mount Judi, which many geographically argue is in present-day Jordan. وَقِيلَ بُعْدًا لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. And it was said, woe be to the evildoers. When he heard this, he said, this is divine. You cannot challenge this here. So Allah silenced the Arabs and beyond them through the beginning of the Quran, that the beginning letters of the Quran, the opening words of the Quran, is above your greatest level of Arabic, fasahat and balaghat. That if you have ability, muscle, clout and understanding, then translate alif, lam, mim. Until today, nobody can take on this challenge. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ إِنَّ هَشَى فِي جَلَالَيْنِ. It's written that dear ذَلِكَ comes for ta'zim. Although it comes for isma ishara ba'id, to denote something in a distance, but at times it comes to denote something close, for the azmat, for, you know, to express how great, how profound, how amazing. This book is amazing, there's no doubt in it. هُدَلْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. It's a guide for those that fear Allah. And then sometimes Allah says hudal lin nas, it is a guide for mankind. And sometimes Allah says it's hudal lil mu'minin, it is a guide for the believers. So some scholars say that actually, you know what, it is hudal lin nas, it is a guide for mankind, but it is only the muttaqeen who will benefit. And others say muttaqeen are the only people who deserve to be referred to as nas as well. Those that fear Allah, they are the true nas. They are the true humans. They are the true mortals. Because otherwise, Allah referred to in the 23rd Juz, Allah referred to the Anbiya that ulil aidi wal abasar. Ulil aidi. They were people with hands and vision. If you unpack this and see what the Mufassirin have written, Allah said that Ibrahim, Ishaq, Yaqub, ulil aidi wal abasar. They were people with hands and eyes. But then we all have hands and eyes. Why did Allah profile them with people with vision and hands? Is they constructively use their limbs and organs. Their hands and eyes were used objectively. Hence, they were privileged and referred to this year. Which releases a subtle hint that if your organs are not used objectively, then having it and not having it is the same. Having it and not having it is the same. So the real nas, the real people are muttaqeen. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. That's the fundamental aspect of our faith, right? To bring iman on the unseen. I just want to touch on وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ briefly. Prayer, salah, establishing salah. So يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ, again linguistically in grammar, iqama means to offer prayer with devotion, with dedication. And may Allah forgive us. Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani writes in Surah Ma'un. Again, we read the chapter so often. Ma'un means trivial kindness, small kindness. Some have even interpreted it as zakat, because zakat is so trivial that these people, they don't mind about serious amounts, they even mind about small amounts. Right? Now, human nature, Allah has spoken, but it is our duty to fight these things. وَأُحْضِرَتِ الْأَنفُسُ الشُّحْ. That to withhold and to mise is intrinsic to our nature. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ هَلُوعًا. Man by nature is impatient. كَانَ الْإِنسَانُ قَتُورًا. He has a very narrowed heart. This is his nature. But when he fights it and he comes out of it and he rises beyond, this is where he becomes amazing. إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ. Allah separates them in Surah Ma'arij, that these are the privileged ones. So يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. So in Surah Ma'un, Allah says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Woe be to those who pray, those who perform salah. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَهُونَ. Saha yashu sahwan, to make mistake, we say sajdatu sahwa. those who are heedless, negligent, or careless regarding their salah. Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani writes so amazing that this is the mercy of Allah. He said, "Alladhina hum an salatihim," and he didn't say "Alladhina hum fi salatihim sahun," because if Allah had to say "fi salatihim," then we all are guilty of it. So these are people who are negligent, that they won't come to the masjid. They are negligent with regards to wudu. They are negligent with regards to congregational prayer. And if Allah had to say fi salatihim, those who are negligent in their salah, then nobody would be spared. But really, here's some reflection. Sometimes Allah forbid you masbuq and you late, and you stand up to offer the rak'ats that were missed, right? And again, if you look in the books of fiqh, when a person misses his salah, the fuqaha, they use such an amazing expression. They say, babu qada'il fawa'it. They don't say, babu qada'il matrukat. And this is mentioned in the hashia of Nurul Idah. That thinking good about a believer, you know, circumstances made it such that his prayer was left out. He never omitted prayer. He never left out prayer. Fata yafutu fautan, it slipped out. It overlapped him. Something happened, but he didn't consciously omit it. May Allah grant us the ability to think positive of people. So, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. So you stand up to offer your prayer and you read in thana, and subhanAllah, the person adjacent to you is in ruku. And you're wondering, but I haven't yet completed thana. How can a man offer prayer so quickly, so swiftly, so haphazardly? A person was playing with his beard, the narration of Tirmidhi, and the Prophet said, لَوْ خَشَعَ قَلْبُ هَذَا لَخَشَعَتْ جَوَارِحُهُ. If there would have been sukoon and calmness in his heart and in his entire body, then he would not be indulging in futile actions. Then Allah speaks about spending. Ramadan is a month of spending, and we all spend, and may Allah make us amongst those and save us from those who mize. إِنَّمَا يَبْكِي إِنَّمَا يَبْقَى الَّذِي يَذْهَب. The poet said, you crying over the wealth that went, but actually what goes remains. إِنَّمَا يَبْقَى الَّذِي يَذْهَبُ إِنَّمَا يَبْقَى الَّذِي يَذْهَبُ. That which you donated and is gone is actually secured for you in your bank of akhirat. But one thing to reflect, throughout the Quran you would see that wherever Allah tells you spend, Allah says, yeah, spend from my money. Yeah, give some of mine. Yeah, give mine. It would be the height of miserliness if a father gives a son, let me be a reasonable, give a contemporary figure, because you can't use this lousy 10, 20, you know, so it's 200 bill or 50 bill, dollar, whatever it is. And he says, okay, here's, he take the boys and just eat out. Now, the money was given to a particular child, and he almost assumes authority over this as it's his money and he's withholding and he's mising. That would be the height of miserliness, that you are withholding something that doesn't belong to you. You know, there's a brother in Sri Lanka who's very generous. He says, we are the cashiers of Allah. We collect and we pass it on. What does the cashier do? He has to cash up and give it to the manager or the boss. That's it. There's so much money moving through his hands, but it's not his. He says, we are the cashiers of Allah. It comes in and we got to pass it on. So study the Quran everywhere. By and large, you will say, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ. From what we gave them, they spend. And the ulama say one of the greatest proof that Allah wants us to earn in this world is the Quran is replete with exhortation to spend. So how are you going to spend if you don't earn? So that's a subtle hint that the Quran wants us to earn, because the Quran, so many of the amal of Jannah are based on spending. Anyway, we move on. Allah then speaks about the kuffar and then the munafiqeen. But just quickly here, because we're on page 2, and like I told you, I'm just trying to select verses here. So look at the beautiful explanation of the Quran and the holistic approach of the Quran. And there are 1,000 people that today and beyond, I just use 1,000 as they would say in Arabic, as takthir and not tahdeed, to denote abundance and not a fixed amount. Like, you know, in English we would say, he's got 1,001 questions. In Arabic they would say sab'een. Sab'een is used many a times in the context of takthir and not tahdeed. That means abundance and not to fix a limit. So Allah says, regarding the disbelievers, and there's a whole context here, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. When it is told to them, do not cause havoc on the earth, do not cause mischief on the earth, they retort by saying, Innama nahnu muslihun. We alone. Now, if you know, inna is denotes emphasis. Ma is my kaffa, which we call in grammar. It stops it from making amal of giving the nasab and the dhamma, etc. But it creates the meaning of hasar. And hasar means exclusive. We alone, nobody else. Innama nahnu muslihun. There's nobody else on the earth who reforms and stabilizes and rehabilitates things other than us. So what an irony. And today there are so many people, be it on their thrones, be it in their empires, causing havoc on the earth. When you say to them, stop your arrogance and your shenanigans, they're like, wait, we are the ones stabilizing the earth, ridding the earth of corruption. How many people today can fit this scenario? وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ listen, you're causing corruption in the organization. إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْلِحُونَ brother, I am rescuing the organization. What did Pharaoh say? After claiming divinity, مَا أُرِيكُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَرَى وَمَا أَهْدِيكُمْ إِلَّا سَبِيلَ الرَّشَادِ مَا أُرِيكُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَرَى I'm only showing you what I see. وَمَا أَهْدِيكُمْ إِلَّا سَبِيلَ الرَّشَادِ And I show you nothing but the path of guidance. And what did Allah say? وَأَضَلَّ فِرْعَوْنُ قَوْمَهُ وَمَا هَدَى Fir'aun deviated his nation and he was not guided. So that's the sad scenario. And then Allah responds by saying, Allah innahum humul mufsidun. Behold, they themselves are the evildoers. وَلَكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ But they don't realize it. And then Allah speaks about the munafiqeen. And Allah says that يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ They deceive Allah. So in Bayanul Quran, in Masailul Suluk, Allama Tanwi, Allama Hakimul Ummah rahimahullah writes so beautifully that ya yukhadi'un Allah, the mudaf is mahzuf, yani yukhadi'un ahl Allah. They deceive the friends of Allah. And he says, from this we understand the lofty rank and station of the friends of Allah, that their mention has been paid up as yukhadi'un Allah. Deceiving them has been referred to as deceiving Allah. Deceiving the pious, the noble, the righteous, the Allah conscious people. Allah has elevated that crime to such an extent that Allah referred to it as yukhadi'un Allah. Babi Mufa'ala has janibain from both sides, but not in all extent, right? In Jalalain, it's mentioned, like you say, aqabatul lissa, I punished the thief. Yeah, it would be from one-sided. Those who understand Arabic will appreciate that. Anyway, we move on. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the ni'mats of Jannah. May Allah make us amongst those fortunate people. وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا And this is the beauty. You read in Salah, right? And you're standing in prayer, and the Qari is reciting along, and you're getting carried away into the gardens of Jannah, and you're moving around. There's the narration of Nasa'i Sharif where the Prophet ﷺ said, I went into Sajda and I seen Jannah, and I actually seen a bunch of grapes, and I wanted to pluck it off. And if I had to pluck it off in Salah and give it to you, لَأَكَلْتُم مِّنْهُمَا بَقِيَتِ الدُّنْيَا You would have eaten from that grapes for the rest of time. So that was the level of Salah of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But be it as it may, when you appreciate the meaning, it allows you in your Salah to travel from that location of yours to move into the gardens of Jannah. وَبَشِّرْ And give glad tidings. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ To those who bring iman and do righteous deeds. أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتِ For them will be gardens. تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ Right? Beneath which rivers will flow. يُفَجِّرُونَهَا تَفْجِيرًا يُفَجِّرُونَهَا تَفْجِيرًا In the footnotes of Tafsir Uthmani, under this ayah, it's written that these rivers of Jannah are such, you can divert them in whichever way you want to divert it. Sometimes you got a house, but it's not positioned right, you're not getting the sunlight properly, you're not getting the eastern rays or the western rays, or you're not getting a good breeze, and the window is positioned wrong, and the master bedroom is in the wrong place, and the view is not right, and you know what, this doesn't overlook that way. You want to move it if you could, but unfortunately you simply cannot. يُفَجِّرُونَهَا تَفْجِيرًا They were able to divert it. They were able to move it. And why will Allah give them this honor? يُفُونَ بِالنَّذْرِ They honored their pledges. And the scholars write, if they honor what they made obligatory upon themselves, then how much more didn't they honor what Allah made obligatory upon them? يُفُونَ بِالنَّذْرِ Look at the رَبْط بَيْنَ الْآيَاتِ Well, Habib, you got to give me like 2 hours a day. This 1 hour is not real, my brother. Really, it's, I don't know, man. 1 hour. You serious? You kidding, man. Yufuna bin Nadri. Anyway, so Jannat kullama ruziqu, kullama, whenever they would be sustained with fruit from therein, they will say, هَذَا الَّذِي رُزِقْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِ. Now some have taken this in the context of this world. Others say, in Jannah, they will say that we have been given this fruit before. Again, the scholars say, when they will be presented with the fruit in Jannah, they will see the shape of this world. So they will assume this to be the apple of this world, the orange of this world. And there's also lutf in that also. There's also attraction in that. Because if somebody presents something to you which is totally peculiar and strange, you go somewhere and say, this is custard apple. Or I'm just giving an example, something you're not familiar with. You're a bit apprehensive to indulge. But when you're familiar with it, you go forward to it quite easily. And when you bite it, you find it to be way more sweeter than anticipated. So in the description of Jannah and of this world is only mumathalatul lafz, right? It's a similarity in words or some shape. But when they will taste this, they will realize that this is completely different, right? La maqtu'atin wa la mamnu'a, not limited to a season and not short of supply. Sidrim makhdood, the thorns will be taken out of the lotus tree. The thorns will be taken out. So many times you say, I like this, but I don't like to shell it. I like this, but I don't like the pips. I like this here, but I don't like the this in it. No, this will be shelled. This will be clean. La maqtu'atin wa la mamnu'a. And then, wa lahmi tayrin mimma yashtahoon, the birds of your choice, the fruit of your choice. Fiha fakihatun wa nakhlun wa rumman. Fakiha fruit, nakhlun dates, rumman pomegranates. And if you look at those two pages in Surah Rahman, most of the Mufassirin have argued the first page speaks of the Muqarrabin, the second page speaks of the Ashabul Yameen. So the difference is there. Fiha aynani tajriyan, fiha naddakhatan. They create the whole difference. I'm just giving, you know, a tip on it and moving. Walahum fiha azwajum mutahara, and in Jannah will be spouses that are pure. Pure in every regard, there will be no form of impurity. Imagine this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it would be the height of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. It would be the age of Isa alayhi salam, miladu Isa. It would be the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. It would be the akhlaq of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jurd, murd, mukahaleen, jihad. There would be no facial hair, no hair on the body. The hair on the head would be straight with a slight curl, and that is how the hair of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. And that would be their beauty. There would be no la yabulun wa la yataghawwatun. There will be no passing urine, no passing stool, no release in flatulence. The only thing, there will be a burp, and that would be also with a pleasant fragrance and not a stench, odor or unpleasant smell. So the spouses of Jannah will be pure. And the best thing is wahum fiha khalidun. This is repeated in the Quran, that it is there forever. You know, somebody in Ma'riful Quran is mentioned somewhere. You would prefer having something inferior in quality but having it permanently than having something superior and having it temporarily. Someone say, I give you this car, it's like a jalopy, right? A simple car, but listen, it's your car. Versus, you know what, I got flashy wheels for you. It's a courtesy car, it's flamboyant, it's colorful, it's got all the extras, but you can keep it for the weekend. Any logical person would go for that simple car and take it because it's permanent. Now, can you imagine if somebody gives you that flashy car, that exclusive car, and gives it to you permanently? So Allah is not giving you an inferior paradise and say, you know what, enjoy it because it's eternal. Allah is giving you the most superior of products that your mind can ever imagine. And Allah is giving it to you that permanently. The real thrill, the real excitement is that eternity. That is why when the dwellers of Jannah will go into Jannah, they will know they're in Jannah and they know they will not die, but they will have a reawakening of that jubilation. أَفَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَيِّتِينَ إِلَّا مَوْتَتَنَا الْأُولَى وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمُعَذَّبِينَ. Hey bro, you mean we won't die? Is this real? أَفَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَيِّتِينَ. We won't die إِلَّا مَوْتَتَنَا الْأُولَى, but the old one, the one we died. وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمُعَذَّبِينَ, and we won't be punished. إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. This is amazing. You come out of an exam room, you know it's your final paper, you meet up with your friends, you hug one another, exams is over. It's not like you don't know. You relive in the excitement, you relive in the euphoria, you relive in this year. When they will enter into, وَيُدْخِلُهُمُ الْجَنَّةَ عَرَّفَهَا لَهُمْ. Listen to this, Ma Habib. This is mentioned so amazing. and in Surah Muhammad in the 26 Jews in the second quarter, Allah will enter them into Jannah. عَرَّفَهَا لَهُمْ عَرَّفَهَا. Allah will familiarize them with it. The scholars write, this is an amazing feature of Jannah. You can enter the best of hotels, but day one, there is a degree of reservation. You find in your feet, where's the dining area? Where's the washroom? Where's the laundry? Where's the spa? Where's the gym? So it's new, it's amazing, but you're not familiar. The dwellers of Jannah will enter into Jannah. It will be their first entry, but Allah will miraculously familiarize them, so there's no degree of discomfort at their first entry of being uncertain of the location. So it will be unique in its first entry, but amazing that there will be a sense of belonging towards it as if they knew it. وَيُدْخِلُهُمُ الْجَنَّةَ عَرَّفَهَا لَهُمْ عَرَّفَهَا لَهُمْ. How do we comprehend this here? So in Jannah لا يَبُولُونَ وَلَا يَتَبُولُونَ. There's no urine, there's no stool, everything. وَهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And it's eternal. It's just permanent. It's everlasting. It's permanent. It's inexhaustible, unending. And then Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي أَن يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوضَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا. So Allah has given different examples in the Quran. Allah has given examples of the spider. Allah has labeled one chapter, Ankabut. Allah has given an example of the ant. Allah has labeled one chapter, Surah An-Naml. Allah has given an example of the bee, An-Nahl. Allah has given an example of the fly. Ya ayyuhan nasu dhuriba mathalun. The Quran is replete with examples, right? We need to know this. And I often, when I do workshops for teachers and tutors, there must be examples in my lectures, in my talks, in my lessons, because the greatest message is the Quran, and the Quran is full of examples. وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ. And these are the examples we present to people. Under this ayah in Ibn Kathir, Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu's qawl is mentioned there, عَقَلْتُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَلْفَ مِثَالِ. He said, I personally, from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's lessons and advices, I learned 1,000 examples. So Allah gives these different examples. So the infidels found a room to argue, and they said, no, such a great, powerful, mighty Allah. And then he's given examples of insignificant creatures. And Hakim al-Ummah in Bayan al-Quran writes so beautifully. He said the example has to have a link with the analogy and not the person giving the example. If I'm giving an example and I'm speaking of a dog, there doesn't have to be a comparison between me and the dog. To whom I'm comparing the dog to? To whom I'm comparing the animal to? There has to be a tashbih between the two. There's no correlation or tie between me. So how naive, foolish of you to find this against the magnanimity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because no logic calls for a tie between the example and the person giving the example. It has to be between whom the mushabbah bihi, to whom the example has been given, and the example. There must be a tie between that. So Allah said, Allah is not ashamed. Allah is not shy. Allah will give an example of a mosquito. فَمَا فَوْقَهَا. Now here again in the Hashr of Jalalain, this is mentioned, and this is Quran, man. You know, you can just be taken away by this and forget about it. And honestly, if we begin to try to understand the Quran, our fatigue in salah will disappear. We will look for the prayer where salah is performed with the most amount of tartil and with the greatest amount of pleasure, because we enjoy what we're listening to. This again is the beauty of the Arabic language. It's probably the only language you can enjoy without understanding. There's nothing else. If somebody is talking in a language you don't understand, you know, brother, please translate, man. You cannot run away for 15 minutes and don't tell me what's happening. But this is Quran. You can enjoy it even when you don't understand. But of course, its beauty is way beyond. So, فَمَا فَوْقَهَا, greater than a mosquito, can mean greater in size and stature, or greater in insignificance, meaning smaller than a mosquito. So, فَمَا فَوْقَهَا فِي الْحَقَارَةِ فَمَا فَوْقَهَا فِي الْجُثَّةِ. Greater in size, so a mosquito or then a spider or some other creature, or even Allah paralyzed Pharaoh with a locust, with a frog. Allah paralyzed, and how Allama Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi writes, وجنود الله لا تعمل فيها السهام. وَجُنُودُ اللَّهِ لَا تَعْمَلُ فِيهَا السِّهَامُ. That when there's a battalion and there's an army, you take your positions, you strategize, you arm yourself to the teeth, and you're ready to, you equip yourself. But then Allah unleashes frogs. How do you equip yourself? Right, frogs are coming. Okay, take your positions, take your military. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ. And only Allah knows what is his army. He can deploy anything at any time, and that becomes his army. It can be rain, it can be frogs, it can be locusts, as Allah did. فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمُ الطُّوفَانَ وَالْجَرَادَ وَالْقُمَّلَ. So Allah says, Allah will give you an example of a mosquito, something more greater than a mosquito, something more insignificant than a mosquito. Now I know my time is up, so I'm going to, for the benefit of the listeners, we didn't get through three pages, and that's also selectively. And I'm telling you, this is nothing of mine. This is Quran. Wallahi, I urge you, and I wish in these few days, because I have a travel beyond, I can stimulate and arouse within you the anxiety to study Quran. So Allah says, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. The example is one. The simile is one, the parable is one, the similitude is one, but the hearts are different. The hearts are different. The human, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innama mathalu ma ba'athani Allahu bihi min ar-rahma." The example of the revelation with which Allah has sent me, it's like rain. And then human hearts are like the earth. Some are ajadib. They don't accept water. Some are fertile. They accept water. And then it gets irrigated and it grows. So the revelation is one. Some became Abu Bakr, some became Abu Jahl. Some responded and the Quran reformed and rehabilitated and revolutionized them. And others did not reform and tragically they deviated. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, those whose hearts are in kufr and disbelief, فيقولون, they say, مَذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا. So what does Allah intend with examples like this? يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. Allah guides many through it and misleads many through it. وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. And the truth be told, none are deviated through this parables of the Quran, but the sinners, the open sinners and those that transgress. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts. Allahumma aftah aqfala qulubina. May Allah unblock and may Allah open up our hearts and our vessels that it can, the Quran can penetrate our heart, permeate our heart. A companion came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he asked for advice. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرٍ يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرٍ يَرَهُ. Whoever will do an iota of good will see it. Whoever will do an iota of evil will see it. And he said, يَكْفِينِ ذَرَّةً. يَكْفِينِ ذَرَّةً. Okay, those two advices are enough to keep me stimulated towards every virtue and keep me away from every vice. So honestly, inshallah, if our hearts become more clean and pure, and may Allah make it such, لَوَ أَنَّ قُلُوبَنَا طَهُرَتْ مَا شَبِعْنَا مِنْ كَلَامِ رَبِّنَا. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu said, if only our vessels were more clean and pure, we would never tire reading the Quran. There were so many other verses, but we barely got to three pages. But anyway, like we always say, Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi's words are very profound. Quran ko khatam karna maqsood nahi, Quran mein apni zindagi ko khatam karna maqsood hai. The aim was never to end the Quran, but the aim is rather to end your life in Quran. And that is the spirit. We got to be at it and in it. May Allah bless us all with a great Ramadan. May we take our time and pride to read the Quran with passion. May we endeavor to understand verses of the Quran so that when we practice on it, it has a different meaning to it. When you practice with basirat, it's a different thing. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ مِنْ يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Under the commentary of this ayah, the same thing is mentioned. That people who have knowledge, when they practice on an injunction, the level of basirat and conviction is much greater. Allah grant us all the understanding. Wa sallallahu wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Buy Islamic media, CDs, CD-ROMs, MP3s and DVDs at SOKIslam.com. Secure online shopping available 24 hours a day. That's SOKIslam. SOUKISLAM.com.